The United Nations Children's Fund, or UNICEF, said today that nearly 340,000 Rohingya children are living in squalid conditions in Bangladesh. Hundreds of thousands of Rohingya Muslims fled Myanmar, also known as Burma, for Bangladesh when violence broke out in late August. They say the government is engaged in a systematic campaign to eliminate them. Myanmar says it's responding to attacks by Rohingya insurgents. Joining us now is Eric Schwartz, president of Refugees International. He's in Washington. And Eric, you were just in these refugee camps in Bangladesh. What did you see? What are the conditions?
They are as difficult and terrible as you could possibly imagine. First of all, Bangladesh is one of the most densely populated countries in the world. They're in the rainy season there, so people are living in really squalor, in makeshift facilities that have sprung up literally everywhere in the region. The conditions, the risk of disease is huge, and the conditions are as challenging as you could possibly imagine.
Do the Rohingya Muslims there expect to go back to Myanmar?
Well, the truth is the people that we spoke to expressed a desire to go back to their homes, even though their homes are gone. I think that they would need to have some degree of confidence that they could go back in conditions of safety and security. But I think, you know, like anyone who's driven from their homes, people want to go back. You know, the situation in Rakhine State in Burma, it is as bad a situation as I have ever seen in some 30 years of doing these kinds of missions.
And the de facto leader of Myanmar, Aung San Suu Kyi, the Nobel Prize winner, has come under a lot of criticism over this crisis. Should the rest of the world be pressing her harder to stop it? Is there something that she could do?
Well, I think the short answer is yes, there is something she could do. It's also fair to say that the Burmese military, has very much the upper hand here. Right? They are driving the situation. And one can question how strongly Aung San Suu Kyi should be condemning the actions of the military. But my concern is whatever she decides about how strongly she's going to speak out publicly, it is an extreme source of disappointment that she has largely served as an apologist for the military. She has challenged whether there is discrimination in Rakhine State. Of course there's discrimination. There's been discrimination. She has professed a certain ignorance about the extent of human rights violations, and that kind of ignorance can only be willful. And so my concern is that if she's not going to be the pointy edge of the spear in terms of challenging the military, she shouldn't be an apologist for the military.
What should the United States be doing about this?
Action has got to be extremely strong from the international community. And thus far, my concern is that the responses have been completely inadequate. The United States needs to take tough measures. Number one, the U.S. needs continually and at the highest level to be condemning these human rights abuses, to be insisting that they come to an end, to be insisting on the agreement of return for Rohingya when conditions permit, to permit unfettered access to the area. We also should be pressing for a multilateral arms embargo on the regime, sanctions against military leaders to demonstrate that the world is not prepared to accept this. And that kind of very tough and consistent outrage has got to be a central component of any effort to challenge what is happening.
Why isn't that happening yet?
Well, I mean, the truth is you have to ask people in the administration. But, you know, I think that, you know, I hate to say this, but, you know, these are a brown-skinned Muslim population thousands and thousands of miles away from the United States. And it is a tragedy. It's a human tragedy that the principle of humanity, that every individual matters, whether he's across the street or across the world, is not prevailing in this case. And that is a stain on humanity. And we have to do everything we can to reverse that.
And you compare it to the Rwandan genocide in the 90s.
when Bill Clinton lamented the absence of a response when he went to Rwanda in 1998, he said that our mistake was we didn't call it what it was. And that was a critical mistake, because if you call it what it is, then you permit the kind of outrage that that then enables the kind of response that the world needs needs to make. And my concern was, in testimony before the House of Representatives a week or two ago, the members of Congress couldn't get the State Department's Asia representative to acknowledge that ethnic cleansing was taking place. The most they could get was a statement saying that this was a cauldron of complexities. And that's the kind of language that doesn't permit the kind of outrage and response that is necessary in this particular instance.
That's Eric Schwartz, who is president of Refugees International. Eric, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.